Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this video is marking the anniversary of the coronation of Ivan Grozny, as in Ivan the Terrible. Probably ferocious would be a more accurate translation, but Ivan Vasilevich or Ivan Chtiri. Okay, so he's Ivan the Fourth. Okay, so then he became Tsar of all the Russias in 1547. So it's quite an epithet to have the Terrible, and he really was ferocious. So he's Grand Prince of Moscow and all Russia to begin with. So Russia was he not such a mighty state, been defeated by the Mongols and the Tatars not long before. It was Moscovy, so Moscow and some of the minor cities around it, like Vladimir and Suzdal, the capital of Russia, had moved a few times. So and then born in 1530 and becoming Tsar, well, Grand Prince in 1547, later upgrading himself. He's the first one to sell himself Tsar and Grand Prince of all Russia. So, so Vasily, his father, had been Tsar before him. So remembered for his exceptional, egregious cruelty, him having so many wives, his murder of his own son, and so on. So he is a study in tyranny, how Russia was just in dystopia. But then when he decided to renounce the throne and just retire to a monastery, then pleading with him to come back. Yeah. And had expansionist policies, ultra aggressive, didn't recognize any rights for anyone else, but sort of a role model for Putin and others, convinced on an evidenceless basis of the inherent superiority of all things Russian. They really had nothing to learn from any other society. Believing, like the Byzantines before, that he was the elect of God, had really untrammeled power, that rightful power rested in his person alone. So he was the sovereign appointed by God and must be obeyed without question. Now, there are certain advantages that it could be quick and decisive rule to tackle problems and so on, concentrating power in the hands of one man. And how could it work in such a large empire? Because although it's a fraction of what modern Russia is, it was still, you know, a fairly large empire. And the roads were in very poor condition. As much as there were roads, obviously you had to go by horse to go fast. It was behind even for the times, very low literacy rate, even compared to Western Europe and all the rest of it. That's it. Obviously he was literate. And on his mother's side, you know, he was a Palaiologina, as in he was descended from that Byzantine family. And that was really important to him. Remember that the downfall of Byzantium had only been in 1453. So not even 100 years before he was born. So, he's partly Tatar himself. Some people like to attribute his wickedness to his Tatar ancestry. Remember, the Tatars are a Turkic-speaking Sunni Muslim people, find the Crimean Peninsula and the Volga Valley, Kazan being their capital. Kazan as in cauldron in the Russian language. And about half the people in Tatarstan are Tatars to this day. So born on the 25th of August, Ivan as in John. That's why he's given that name, because that's the day of St. John the Baptist and so forth, recognizing his martyrdom. So so he became Tsar by some people's reckoning the age of three. He didn't actually assume the Tsar. And the Cathedral of the Dormition, as in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin, still stands in Moscow. I've been into it. And that's where they are. So many Tsars and Tsarinas are buried. So the Christians believe that the Blessed Virgin Mary was too holy to die, was simply assumed into heaven, or Dormition as in falling asleep, the Theotokos as in the God carrier, because she carried Jesus Christ within her womb. The various, things there, holy items, what do you call them? Relics there, okay? Cross of the life-giving tree, the cap of Monomach, and so on. So that's where he had his ceremony. So it was all about ritual, firmly ritualistic. And he married Romanov, Anastasia. Of course, the Romanovs, a few generations later, in 1613, were to become the imperial dynasty, when Mikhail Romanov, a 16-year-old nobleman from a not particularly distinguished aristocratic family, founder of the new dynasty. Nobody would have seen that one coming. In a way, she was a surprising choice. So that's it. So, and then he claimed he was descended from Julius Caesar and stuff like that, possibly from the Rurik's, the Rurikid, as in the Vikings who'd attacked in the 11th century AD and stuff like that. So he was ill quite a lot of the time, and he tried to tame the Bayard. as in the nobleman. I noticed in Romanian, bayar is an aristocrat as well, one of the few words they borrow from Russian. So, but an exceptionally cruel monarchy, mother sounds at the time, the number of people who was willing to kill, and unusually wicked ways to cause so much suffering. So most people live in semi-serfdom, that's semi slavery and so on. Okay, so then he had his own policy of killing loads of boyars and sequestrating their property, yeah, the oprichnina, as he called it. So you can see where this despotism comes from. And I suppose a lot of countries had despotism at the time, but Russia is perhaps one of the worst. So obviously fighting the Tatars, and perhaps the main achievement of his reign was to take Kazan, that's the Tatar capital. So sometimes fighting the Hanseatic Leaguers and those northern German states with the Baltic coast, Poland, Sweden, and so forth. Remember, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth was really big from the Baltic Sea to the Black Sea, much of what's Ukraine in those days. So marrying many times. Remember, the Orthodox Church taught you could only marry thrice, even no matter what the reason, even if it was that all three wives died, but he broke that as well. Known for his debauchery, getting so drunk and so on. Wow. So what else about him? He'd even considered marrying the Queen of Ireland, Elizabeth I. Had he done so, our life in Ireland might have been very different, but she parried his entreaties. Wow. So goodness. And so he wanted to get better merchants and craftsmen to improve things. And he had that St. Basil's Cathedral, that's not its official name, built to celebrate the conquest of Kazan. It's not true that he had the architect's eyes put out to prevent him making something so beautiful again. So then he established diplomatic relations with the Ottoman Empire, but he went to war with them as well, the first of many wars against them, fighting to get more of a Baltic coast. And really, that was his throne still exists, expanding further into Siberia. Then he controlled a small fraction of Siberia. So had at least six wives, by some reckoning, eight wives. And there's the time when he murdered his son in a rage. Ilya Repin memorably recreates it with the distraught Ivan Grozny cradling the lifeless body of his son, who's bleeding from the head, when he murdered his own son Ivan, and so on. So wow. And then he had some very painful spine condition, which wasn't discovered until, centuries after he died, when they exhumed his corpse, and that was it. So you can see this madcap tendency continuing under Putin to this day. He sees something as a role model, believing that being absolutely vicious is a good thing, and that the ruler should have unlimited control over people, and people should have no rights whatsoever. It'd just be unchecked power. That tyranny is a good thing. Otherwise, you have anarchy as a strong state. And that's why Stalin had Eisenstein, or sorry, Eisenstein, make a film about him, a laudatory biopic during the Second World War, and that we won before we win again. And then the villain of the piece bears an unmistakable likeness to Trotsky and so on, how the French and English are unreliable and so forth. And then England and therefore Ireland, we just established diplomatic relations with him at the time, and there's the English court in Moscow to this day, the first sort of English embassy you visit as a tourist. Well, that is Ivan Grozny. So really, not the role model a good leader would want to follow. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecalan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.